It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right, we're back on. No, hilariously, so there's a thing at work. There's a program called WebEx, and we use it. It's awesome. It is a thing that we use for teleconferencing. You can do like a conference call. You can also share what's on your screen. You can do video chat, stuff like that. We use it for a lot of things. So one day I'm setting up a meeting with it, with somebody in one of the big conference rooms, and nobody else is there yet. And with certain settings, when you do it and you call in on the phone, it says, okay, when you hear the beep, say what your name is. And that's so then when you join the meeting, it says, whatever you said is now joining the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I had trouble because I used to set these up a long time ago for people, and I was the first one in there. So I knew it didn't matter because, like, they'd say, so-and-so is now joining, and I'm the only one there, so I know nobody else can hear it. So I would just say whatever the fuck I wanted. So
sure.
Like, at the beep, and it'd go beep, and I'd be like, ah, rah, 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 and then I'd hit pound. And it would say, now attending, rah, 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 rah. And then I would set up the meeting, and I would pass everything over to the person whose meeting it was, and then I would leave. This goes on for a long time.
Okay.
I'm doing this. In particular, for one particular person, I did it a lot. They telecommuted, and so I did this. Let's say 6 months, maybe even a year, I'm doing this. And one day, I'm in one of these meetings, and I discover that when you hang up, it says, so-and-so has now left. So for months, in these pretty high-level meetings, I have left, and I've said, okay, you guys are all set, I'll talk to you later, and I've hung up, and it has said, rah, rah, or I probably did some swear words sometimes, I don't even know,
oh, no.
Has now left the meeting, and nobody said shit to me, ever. That's what really impresses me. Like, before that, it's like, oh, no. But I'm like, this went on, and nobody said anything to me. That's kind of awesome.
Pretty funny.
It's the kind of thing I would do. But anyway, so the other day, I was drinking, because I'm constantly drinking at work. No, I was drinking Diet Mountain Dew, because it was morning, and I was tired. And I had just chugged a whole bunch, and then it said, say your name. And it was just there. I had a burp, so it went beep, and I went, bah. And there was a person with me, and she's like, that was gross, but then it said, now attending, brah, and we both giggled. I'm like, no, see, that was hilarious. It wasn't like I planned it that way, but I had it in the chamber. I had to use it.
In the chamber.
Yes. So anyway, hello, and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast I do in the world that I do. William does other ones.
Oh, I did for a little, while. It's been a while.
He's a little bit of a podcast slut, one might say.
Okay.
Not that I'm judging.
That's good.
Anyway, I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 222.
222.
Mm-hmm.
Means nothing to me. For those of you just joining us, you're in a two-parter. So go back and see what cliffhanger we left it on. We have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People like yourselves, the good people out there, write into that email address with little comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's E-word related servants. I'm very tired, and this is our second episode. Draw those little note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the show. By the way, And I think I talked before that Steve Gerbic from Serbia, who I'm hoping is still listening, haven't heard from him in a while, posted a thing on YouTube, or not on YouTube, on Facebook one time about how he loves listening to this, and it's like sitting down with two friends or whatever. Somebody just today, a listener of ours, said that the hat is frequently one of their highlights of their week.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah, it pleased me, because I was talking to them. I had this idea. I've been thinking recently about maybe doing a blog.
Oh.
But completely anonymously.
Okay.
Just out there in the world, get like a Tumblr blog or something. But I wouldn't tell anybody that I know where it is or what it is or anything like that. And just write whatever I want. And part of the reason I'm not doing it is because I'm super fucking lazy. But the other part, I'm not sure why I want to do it. I'm not sure what my motivation is. And consequently, I'm not sure if that's the right answer.
Mm.
And the one thing I'm especially worried about is a similar thing to what I had with the podcast, that now that we've been doing it for over 4 years, and I feel like I'm in a really good place with it, I can look back and say that this was true in the beginning, is that I was hoping we'd get to be real famous. You know, I was hoping this would be a big deal and all that. And I just don't think that I'm not willing to do what it would take to make that kind of thing happen, if it even would then.
Right.
And this is going to be the same thing with a blog. And I'm at a point now where I'm very happy with the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it just for its own sake. I just enjoy doing it.
Sure, me too.
But I also really like our, let's be realistic, 30 listeners.
Yeah.
Maybe. After 4+ years, 30. That is not success in terms of, you know, that is not commercial success.
No.
In any sense.
Yeah.
But I really like it.
Yeah.
And I'm very pleased with it. But it's taken me a while to get to that point.
Okay.
But again, if that's what my motivation is, I just fucking need to stop the idea right now, because it's not going to happen, dude. And I know that, but I'm worried that there's a sort of unconscious part of my brain that's like, but maybe. So I'm still trying to figure out, because of course, the big question is, if it's a blog that I don't tell anybody I know about, why am I doing that instead of just keeping a journal on my computer that I don't show anybody?
I don't know.
No, it's a real legit question. And I'm not sure what the answer is. So I'm not doing it until I have a better sense of that. If I do it, I will tell you people I have done it. I won't tell anybody what it is, though. Because part of the appeal of people that I know not being able to see it, or people not knowing it's me, is then I can really just be as open as I want to.
Sure.
And say things that are real and that are true in my head, but that it would be impossible to properly convey the nuances to someone if it's about them,
mm-hmm.
or it would be really cruel to, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I do say, I'm not burning with like wanting to shit on William or my wife or things is what, like, there's not some really nasty shit I'm just dying to say, and that's why I want to do this. No, because at this point, I'm not even sure what that is, but the idea is the ability just to write whatever.
Yep.
But again, I don't know why I would feel the need to have an anonymous internet audience. And if I do feel that need, I should watch out, because, you know, if I get a Tumblr blog and I don't tell anybody, it's possible, like, nobody ever sees it. There's a lot of those blogs out there, you know, so.
Right.
So I don't know, I'm going to think about it. And also I'm really lazy, so nothing will probably come of this, but you know, there it is. Anyway, how was your time? Watch, you just didn't give a fuck about baby goats and PJs.
Not really.
Because you're a sad man.
No, I'm...
No, I'm telling you, it's awesome. By now, hopefully you've all seen. If you haven't, go to the blog. I'm going to put it in the show notes for last week, so you should have seen it by now. But... You also can go to YouTube. If you put in baby goats in pajamas, the channel in question is somebody creamery. It's an actual dairy farm place. And the video is like a minute and a half or whatever. So find that one. I can't watch it without smiling. I love that video.
Yeah, I could see you love it.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
You love it.
You are dead inside.
You know, I did grow up in, you know, on a farm and around farms.
I guarantee you nothing that cute ever happened on your farm.
Yeah, they probably did. Minus
in
the pajamas.
PJs. See, that's
minus
the
pajamas,
that
but I don't.
That makes it super extra cute.
I don't see how the pajamas help.
Because when you're talking about cuteness, adding a cute outfit always makes it better.
Really?
Mm. Okay. If you're talking about cuteness, other things, a cute outfit could ruin it. But seriously, people, check it out. Tell William how dead inside he is.
I'm not dead inside.
He's a little dead inside. check it out and go to the blog and tell us how awesome it is, because it's awesome. So baby goats in pajamas. If that doesn't just make you go, just to hear that, then you're also dead inside and you should move on. Baby, do you want to reaffirm?
What?
Baby goats in pajamas.
Baby goats in pajamas. Okay. Baby goats in pajamas. Baby goats fucking awesome.
Baby goats are fucking awesome.
They're like the funniest thing ever.
They're adorable. They like to jump. They're not very good at it yet.
Baby goats in pajamas?
Yes.
Is it like baby goats to the nth degree?
Yes, yes. It's like super baby goats.
Also, all goats, the other things.
Goats are pretty funny overall.
Yeah, goats, like, if there is something, they always want to be on top of it.
Yep, they want to get on top of
it. So my favorite is like when they live in a pasture with other animals and like they crawl up on top of a donkey or something.
Yeah, or sheep. There's so many pictures of goats just standing on sheep.
Yeah.
Because sheep are stupid. Sheep and goats want to be on top of them.
Sheep are stupid. I will give you that.
But yeah, baby goats in pajamas. I mean, those four words just like brighten my life, and so if it happens for you also, then you know, go find this video. I wish I could take this video and keep it in a locket near my heart, that anytime I need it, I could just open the locket and see it, like, you know, like in a war movie or whatever.
Yeah.
Just open up and it's a little video of baby goats in pajamas.
Although I feel I'm like not sure touching. It's my favorite baby goat video.
I'm not willing to commit to that. In general, that out of all of them, it's probably the favorite one I've seen.
Because I've seen one where the camera is like shooting down a hallway and it's empty.
Yeah.
And then you hear this, and then you see a little baby goat on hardwood floors, like run
ding, ding,
out
ding,
of
ding,
a door.
Ding.
It's like Scooby Doors.
Oh.
And he like runs out and runs into another one, and then there's silence, and you're just looking at an empty hall again. And then you hear, and here comes a little baby goat. It's hilarious.
I remember one with goats running by in a backyard, and there's like a dog, and the dog, and it's just these baby goats just run by and like trip over the deck and just take off, and that dog is like, "What the fuck just happened?" That one is also really good. If you look at baby goats on the internet, you're gonna do
all
right.
You'll just watch them all day long,
and you'll be happy and content in your life.
I'm going to Cheney's. I just found out I'm not actually babysitting.
What the fuck are you doing?
I'm just going to go over and say hi, because I haven't seen them in a long time, and I'm going to Hunt Valley, so.
Oh, okay. So you're just going over for a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. I thought she was going to have to babysit, and now she's not, but I was like, but you're still going to just hang out there? But no, she's going, yeah, because we haven't seen him in a while, because our Sundays have been busy, and that's when we usually have dinner, and this Sunday, Trish is gone. By the time you guys are hearing this, I've lived as a bachelor for a few days.
Hmm.
Trish is gone all next week. And so, pray for me. So by the time you hear this, hopefully you already did.
Because he's going to be spending several days just watching baby goat videos.
I might. What I hope happens, by this point, is I finally watch the damn 2 seasons of Silicon Valley.
Oh.
I've been meaning to watch that for goddamn ever. I'm so tired. Seriously, as soon as this is done, hopefully I can get to sleep. I don't know.
Well, right, let's draw some things from that.
Let's just hat it up.
Yeah.
You can go for that. There you go. With that. Shake it up good. Ezzy's here. Yay. Oh, God. Did it. You guys are so lucky it did not just stop. She just flat out walked on the keyboard.
What's the... this is anonymous. What's the best way to listen to podcasts for the hopelessly overburdened among us? I don't know.
Is there a comma? Are we advising people who are hopelessly overburdened?
Yes.
Or are we advising people on how to listen to podcasts that are designed for people who are the hopelessly overburdened.
The first one. So this person is hopelessly overburdened, and it's difficult for them to get to the podcast to listen to it, so they want to know, is there an easier way, probably, than what they're doing? I do listen to the podcast, but I listen to it on a regular computer while I'm doing other things.
You seem to know a lot about what this questioner means.
I'm pretty sure I know. But I don't know all the methods. I mean, isn't it on iTunes? Can't you download it?
Yeah, but that's all semantic. The main question is the logistics involved. And again, they're talking about listening, so I don't want to go into like where you get it. I mean, whatever. But how do you find
what time I mean is you can put it on a device is what
absolutely,
I'm getting at.
Absolutely.
So you can listen to it anywhere.
I don't listen to podcasts as much now. I listen more to audiobooks, but I've done a lot of podcast listening in my day. And here's what I can tell you. I largely listen to stuff at work, and I don't anymore. I mean, I do some, but I don't. It's a bare fraction of what I used to, because I used to have work that was fairly trained monkey kind of stuff. I'm making a lot of photocopies. Mm-hmm. I'm filing a lot of things alphabetically, mm-hmm. which I'm pretty good at the alphabet even when I'm distracted. and so I could listen to stuff just all day long. Now, I'll do it when there is stuff like that. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a pretty boring task. This is going to be a pretty autopilot kind of task. This is going to be a task that's pretty straightforward, and so I'll listen to them while that's going on. The other place that I still do now is gym. Gym's a great place for listening to stuff. But it needs to be compelling enough. A lot of podcasts didn't quite work for me because it didn't suitably distract me from the fact that I was exercising.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want. You want something where, oh, I'm thinking about what I'm listening to. Oh, my workout's done. Awesome. You know, that's the kind of thing you want. So audiobooks are much better for that, and only certain audiobooks even for that. But there's another thing that I did when I really liked it. I did this with the Dresden Files because I'm like, I really like this. I don't want to wait until I go back to the gym. I don't want to wait until work gives me another boring job. You literally just checked your watch, and you have no watch.
No, I didn't.
He's so bored, he checked what time it was on his bare wrist.
No, I wasn't looking at my wrist.
So not only is he bored, he's bored and he's hallucinating.
No, I was looking at my finger because it hurts.
Why does your finger?
I don't know.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything, but you know how my hands get sometimes.
I don't. I know very little about your hands.
Little nicks and they bleed here and there. It just happens.
Fight Club? Sorry, we're not supposed to talk about that.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? Don't talk about it.
So anyway. So here's what I found out. Because the problem is, I can't just sit there and listen and like do nothing.
Okay.
Like I get distracted, like I fall asleep, like it's just terrible. I get bored even if I'm listening. Like I need like something to do with my hands or whatever. I don't knit or whatever. So no, that's like what the producer can use. She can just knit while she's doing it. What I found is there are certain levels of computer games that are either dull enough or just I have enough experience with them that they're perfect, because I don't really have to pay attention, but it gives me something to do.
Mm.
So, like, the one I first used was just Solitaire. Mm. Just play Solitaire on the laptop while listening to the thing, and I can totally do that without at all being distracted from the book, but I'm also not fidgeting or bored or anything like that. But, yeah, just simple games like that. Game, you know, 2048 would probably be a good game. Just simple ones that you don't have to pay a lot of attention or do a lot of decision-making or whatever. Minesweeper is probably good, that kind of stuff. So I'll do that kind of stuff. That will help. That's all the advice I have to give. Forever.
You know, a lot of people have things in their cars where they can hook their device up and listen.
Yes, I am super jealous of them.
So, road you know, trips would be awesome. If you're driving to work and it's a 15-30 minute drive, that's half the podcast.
That is a very common one, is people do on their commutes, but I can't. It's not real easy to do headphones, and I think having headphones in both ears is legal while you're driving. But and then frequently, you know, trying to do the tape deck or whatever is weird. Yeah, no, I really would like to have a car that has like a port for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, done with that. Let's move on.
Next. Pulling it out of the hat.
This is from Beth.
Beth, wow.
You know, Mrs. I forget.
It's been a while.
Yeah. You actually changed your name, right, Beth? It's not.
She commented on the blog recently, but.
Your last name changed. To the new one, but I don't remember what it is. Alright, okay, this is weird. The question is not weird. The way it is written is weird. The question is, I'm going to start with that. Can you please describe your dream home? That's the question. But don't get into that yet, because I'm going to show you how, I'm going to tell you how it is written. Open parentheses. Can you please close parentheses. Capital D, describe your dream home, period. Open parentheses, question mark, close parentheses.
Oh, yeah.
What is, huh?
I don't know.
That's odd.
Like, being polite was an afterthought?
Yeah, or like, yeah. Or it's assumed, like, it's trying to be, like, subtle. I'm not being polite, but you should think I'm. Like, I don't even.
I don't know.
Can you please describe your dream home?
Well, go ahead. I'm sure you have an idea of what your dream home is like.
I've never really. Well, it's weird, actually. I used to draw things like that. The one I frequently would draw is I drew a lot of buildings that were essentially our colleges, but we didn't really have that term back then. But I would draw these self-sustaining skyscrapers.
What did you call them?
Arcologies.
What's that?
It's a self-sustaining city, basically, in like a building.
Oh.
It's a single structure that's supposed to house an entire community.
I see.
It's a speculative thing of me. I don't believe any actually exist yet. Well, there have been some attempts at them. I used to draw those a lot, but that's kind of like a dream home kind of thing. I don't know. I think it's more easier to talk about features I think I would like. Weirdly, and it probably has to do with my age or whatever, a lot of architectural features I really liked were very big in the 70s. I thought split levels were the coolest thing ever.
Really?
I did. You'd walk in and there'd be a way up and a way down, and it was very. I like levels. I like different stories and levels and stuff. I've always thought that was cool. He said in his ranch home with no basement. And I liked, like, sunken living rooms. I liked really thick carpet. You know, lots of 70s shit. I don't know, though. I don't know that I get as into that as I used to.
Well, I've always liked the grand old Victorian houses.
Those are very cool.
Painted up really nice. And it doesn't even matter, really. They all look cool to me, or they all have some feature that I really like. But that said, I don't know if I'd ever really want to live in one.
Maintenance and upkeep, both financially and physically, in most of the really cool houses is often a pain in the ass.
Sure. Now, there are homes that have been developed by conservationists, environmentalists, or whatever, that seem like a really cool idea, and they look like they'd be fun to live in, even.
Yeah.
Earthship homes and things like that.
Geodesics.
And you know, if you're ever going to have one of those built or build one of those, you can sit down with an architect and pick the things you want. And I often have thought that it would be nice to have a home that's, you know, doesn't have a carbon footprint or whatever. But I'm afraid that's not a very interesting answer.
Wet bars. I also thought wet bars were amazing. Very 70s thing. Now that I'm thinking about it, I thought my cousin's house was really cool. I don't know. I like high and I like low. I like big balconies and stuff. But I also love underground stuff. Like, especially if it's underground, but, like, there's windows and things. Like, I really like that. But if it can be, like, in the side of a hill or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that kind of feature. I don't know. I have... I mean, our house is big, and our house is full of shit. And I'm not going to say that a healthy percentage of that is not mine, because it is. But I feel like way more is the producer's. And I always felt like if for some reason I was on my own, I could do with a lot less of the stuff. There is a house. Did you ever go to the house that Sarah and Steven lived in before they moved away?
No.
It was smaller than my head. It was tiny. And it was technically two-story. Maybe even had a basement. I don't know, but it was tiny.
For those people who've never seen Tony's head, it's really, I mean, that's not that small a house. Not as small
as
you might
think. But I mean, for two people, yeah, no. I mean, my head is a modest apartment. no, but like, I would say the square footage of the ground floor was maybe this room. Maybe. It was tiny. And like, I would go insane living with somebody in there, let alone, you know, kids or whatever. But I've always thought, and I mean, it's still out there or whatever. They sold it to somebody that's there. I've always thought, if the producer divorced me, which I don't think she would. I think she'd kill me. I know she would not let me divorce her, but I feel like she would kill me rather than divorce me.
Okay.
But if she divorced me, or, you know, she gets hit by a bus, and I don't know, I lose the house. Maybe that's it. I'm out one day, and she explodes the house. So anyway, if for some reason I was on my own and was not living here, I feel like that house would be great. I fantasize about that sometimes, just living in that house by myself. Because make no mistake, producer's gone, I'm not finding somebody else. Like, I'm living as a hermit forever. Like, there's no chance. So I thought that would be a good little just one-person house. It seemed nice. I kind of like that. I like cozy. But I think I just like weird stuff. I like houses that have, like, secret little nooks, or here's an odd feature, or, you know, I mean. And then just the shit that most people like. I like high ceilings. I like a lot of room. But I like it to be small. But I like it to be huge, you know. That would be, if it could be like a TARDIS, if it could be bigger on the inside, that would be awesome. So, are you house hunting, Beth? I feel like a lot of my dreams about home ownership went away once I had home ownership.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about it that aren't, like, very pleasant.
Well, and I'm not even saying that, like, it de-romanticized me, but also, like, what do I want in a home? Well, this is my home.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say I want a lot of this, but I associate it with home now.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And there's shit like, I have an indoor in-ground pool. That would totally have been on my list of, like, holy shit, I want that. I have it. It's not that exciting. With the right other shit, it could be. It could be awesome. But I think it would take a lot of money and people keeping the house and, you know, I mean, all sorts of things. It's cool. Don't get me wrong. I totally want the pool. I need the pool. That's how I keep cool. I enjoy the pool. But it's not, like, if you had told me, oh, you're going to have a house with an indoor in-ground pool, I'd be like, eh, whatever. You know, it's a hole in the ground full of water. Nobody else goes in there. The room's a little junky. Whatever. Yeah, so, find a good one, Beth. Enjoy yourself. Alright, let's try again.
Yep.
Done is done. Here is a hat for you. Let me make sure it's the actual hat with the things in it, and not just a random hat.
Yeah, you got so many hats just lying around
here. Yeah, there you go. There's a good one.
Thank you. Oh, there's so many cards in there. I think I'll pick this one.
He seemed to really agonize over that, folks.
I did for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, he named last week's episode, so that never happens. So.
Dave of Id.
Dave of Id.
This has been...
The password is Dave of Id.
Abridged a little. I don't know why, but it has been.
Probably because... he wrote too much.
If there was a TMTH telethon, what three celebrities would participate, and what would their talents be?
Interesting. Three. Is that including the two of us? Because I can't imagine three other famous people who would...
Well, let's see.
Well, I mean, other than Sam. Sam's obvious.
We've got to have Sam, because he's always...
Samuel L. Jackson, because he's been doing the sign language for the hearing impaired.
Since the very beginning.
Yes.
I think he adds stuff.
Well, you haven't... He's not,
I think he's
not here every week.
I think he embellishes with sign swears.
He skips some weeks, and I'm not sure you've noticed. And I'm not sure it's legal. We might be running into some ADA Title I stuff there, but...
So, yeah, Sam, but...
But Sam would be there, and I mean, I don't... He'd do sign language, I guess.
Yeah, that's his talent.
But,
I don't know if the talent, but...
Carol Channing's dead, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like... If you know if Carol Channing's alive, or if you are Carol Channing, go to the blog.
I have a feeling we're going to come up with a lot of dead people. Because Paul Lynde just popped into my
head. Wow. Yeah.
You got to
shoot for the moon.
Paul Lynde.
Oh, my God.
I don't
If know. Paul Lynde was alive today, he would just... Oh, I would buy anything he endorsed.
Yeah.
Just out of respect. Like, why the hell do you own saddle wax? You don't own a sandal or a saddle. I know, but Paul Lynde recommends it. And I don't think he owns a saddle either.
I think we could get Hugh Jackman to come in, probably.
Wait. You've just gone a different direction here.
Yeah.
You actually think we could get Hugh Jackman?
Have him do a song. Because he doesn't get to sing near enough. That guy wants to inject song in everything.
That is true. You can probably
so if we call him up and say, song. You're going to be the singer, the singer, we're not going to have another singer, just you. Yeah, he'd probably do it.
And dancing, I'm assuming.
All right, so Sam and Hugh Jackman.
And
now you have to come up with
the
Sam
ghost
is too easy.
Of Paul Lynde or the Schrodinger's Carol Channing. Which... Fuck me, that's the title of this episode right there. Schrodinger's Carol Channing. Hell, I want that on a t-shirt.
Hugh Jackman. Samuel L. Jackson.
We need a woman.
Well, it might as well be Scarlett Johansson then, just to keep the whole Marvel movie stars thing going.
Really? Is that what we're doing here?
No, we don't have to. I just threw it out there.
I feel weird about that.
Okay. I'm not committed to it or anything. I just thought, hey, you know, maybe that would work.
See, and I want to do, like, who goes worst with those two?
Worst?
Yes.
What woman does?
I just want somebody who just clashes horribly there.
Well, I think it would have to be a female comedian. Like, your favorite female comedian.
No, see, I think that fits you. I want, like, a female politician.
Oh.
like Ann Coulter. There we go. Samuel Jackson, Hugh Jackman, Ann Coulter. Her talent? No, she has no talent. Never mind. Who is my favorite female comedian? That is a complicated and troublesome question.
Troublesome?
I don't have a lot of female comedians I like, and I feel like that's my fault somehow. But it's a thing that I run into. There are fewer of them, and they have less chance at success. It's a very male-dominated field, but I have a lot that I like. Aisha Tyler, probably. Aisha Tyler might be my... Well, okay, Tig Notaro might also be my favorite female comedian. But I think I'd rather have Aisha Tyler. Aisha Tyler would be good. Aisha Tyler hosts the shit out of stuff all the time. She has her own podcast that's apparently quite successful.
That sounds like a pretty good list.
I like that. Samuel Jackson doing sign language.
Doing sign language.
Hugh Jackman singing and dancing.
Yeah.
Aisha Tyler just MC.
Yeah, maybe she'll... Yeah, comedy.
She does a lot of hosting in general. That's one of her...
We'd have her... She could have her little stand-up segment.
Yeah, yeah.
We decide if we're going to have her sit down and talk to us some more or not, like Johnny Carson used to do.
Wow.
Oh, you get to sit and talk to Johnny.
I've been...
I mean, we, you know, to be honest, well, if we were going to make sure we had a woman coming. We would probably pick Ellen DeGeneres, but people would always get confused whether she's talking or I'm talking, so that would be confusing.
Is that a thing?
No. I just thought that would be funny to say.
I thought it would be hilarious if people... Do people accuse you of sounding like Ellen DeGeneres?
No, no, I just thought that would sound funny.
But it's interesting, my mind went the same place. Not that you sound like Ellen DeGeneres, but the tangent I'm about to do is because when you said her coming to talk to us in Carson, because Ellen DeGeneres was the first female comedian ever to get called over after her set.
And to sit down and talk to him, that's why I brought her up.
And that's why I'm about to bring this up, weirdly. There's a few more tangents to get there, but but it started with that. I am trying to decide whether or not to purchase the audiobook of Portia de Rossi's memoir. Hmm. And I'm very conflicted about it.
Why?
I'm a decent fan of Portia de Rossi.
Yeah, I like Portia.
I first saw Portia de Rossi where a lot of people first saw Portia de Rossi.
Arrested Development?
No.
Really?
Everybody saw her before then. You're the last person to see Portia de Rossi. Because first of all, before that was Ally McBeal.
Oh, that's right.
And that's where she really became famous. But I saw her before then in a movie called Sirens.
Yep, yep, yep. That's right.
And I was a teenager. I was in high school when Sirens came out. And I went to see it. A, because I kind of like Sam Neill. And B, because it had tons of naked women in it. And that was the whole point, and that was why I went.
Wasn't Elle McPherson in that?
Yeah, and naked, and other people. Yeah, and you see a great deal of her, and who I'd never known before then. But I knew her then, and then Ally McBeal I didn't really watch. But
I didn't either, but I do recall that she was
a fan, but I've always been a little torn because Sirens notwithstanding, there's Ally McBeal, there's Arrested Development, and there's Better Off Ted, which is a lesser-known series that was hilarious. You can find it on Netflix. Watch it. It's a great sitcom where she plays, like, the VP of this corporation. It's this corporate parody thing. And in all of these ones that aren't Sirens, she kind of plays a terrible person.
Yeah, usually.
And so I feel like that color... I have that problem when somebody always plays assholes, like, in my head, like the actor is. But here's the other thing. I have had issues with Portia de Rossi for a little while because I'm mad at Anne Heche.
Why? But, I mean, yeah, why?
I think that's your safest question. Because it's a long way to go. So Anne Heche gets involved with Ellen DeGeneres.
Sure, for many years.
Not that many. A while. Wasn't super long relationship. 2-3 years, I think.
I thought it was longer than that.
And then it's over.
Yeah.
And she's never been with a woman since. There wasn't really any sign that she'd been with a woman before then. And there had been lots of speculation that essentially she used it as an excuse to further her career.
That's probably not fair, but okay.
It's probably not fair, but there's a part of me that's always been suspicious. And I like Ellen, and I feel like that's a shitty thing to do to Ellen, if that's what happened. And then Portia de Rossi shows up, and I'm just once bitten, twice shy on behalf of Ellen DeGeneres. But, so the other day, I went down a wiki rabbit hole, and I'm looking this up. And I've always found Portia de Rossi funny and stuff like this. So I'm looking up. First of all, they've been together forever now.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
They got married in 08, but they've been together since, like, 04.
Yeah.
But on top of that, I really look into this, and Portia de Rossi, there's not any of this, like, you know, bisexual, and because there's a lot of people who, like, late in life sort of discover they're bi or discover that they... Like, Portia de Rossi, as near as I can tell, has been lesbian and known she was lesbian forever, and just largely was super in the closet because she was worried it would hurt her career.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, she was with this other woman, this director... whose name didn't recognize the time for many years, quietly, and then, like, tabloid saw a shot of her or whatever. And him. So there's none of this game playing. And they've been together forever now. They're married. She legally changed her last name to DeGeneres. She's actually Portia Lee James DeGeneres now, I believe. Legally, her name. So serious shit here. And that's nice, and I'm very happy for them. I think that's wonderful. But also... Yet one thing people will say about, well, some people will say about Portia Rossi, she's gorgeous. What they're really saying is, she's really skinny. And she is really skinny. And part of the reason she's really skinny is she's battled with anorexia forever. And in fact, she largely credits her relationship with Ellen with helping get her out of that. All through Arrested Development and Ally McBeal, she was particularly bad. And so she's written this memoir called Unbearable Lightness. Clever pun, I suppose. That deals with a lot of this stuff. And apparently it's really compelling. The audiobook is narrated by her, and I always love that when it's an autobiography narrated by the author. I think that's marvelous. And people have said it's really powerful stuff, especially for people who have issues with body image, which is almost everybody. Certainly is me. And so I'm really curious. But at the same time, and you know me, I have this with movies and stuff too, I'm like, it's going to make me really sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, so I'm very, very torn. But I find it fascinating, and I want people to know about her and about this stuff. So that's why I'm putting it out here. That's why I brought this up. So, yeah, check that out on Audible. In general, I just recommend everybody check out Audible. Audible's awesome. I love Audible.
We also can't invite Kate Mulgrew because I don't think I can handle it.
That's true.
Yep.
That is the thing. Like, who... Kate Mulgrew is probably true for you. I wonder who for me, like, the guest that I would most just be a drooling mess and be, like, useless. I feel like Kate Mulgrew is probably yours.
Well, anyway, that she's as close as anyone's ever going to get.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not usually that affected
for
by people.
For sure.
Well, and that's not, I kind of met her, and it's like, it was just a person, so I know how I would be around Kate Mulgrew. So I'm half joking.
There's a lot of people like that. I don't know. There's a lot of ones that I would just, like, lose my shit about. And I like to think I would, but that's the thing, it's almost ever, like, even when I talked to Nick Offerman the other night, like, I was still kind of, like, shaky and stuff, and I said some dumb things, and like, oh my god.
So you get starstruck then, huh?
I do, well, and I get nervous. I get nervous public speaking too, and so that was the thing.
Well, I was Jazz and I went to see Neil Gaiman, and I asked him a question.
Oh yeah,
I didn't have a problem with it.
Adore him. I don't think I could take him seriously in person. Something about the been wearing a leather jacket, black shirt, and black jeans for the last 30 years. I'm just like, oh my god.
I asked him.
I feel like I went to high school with him, and he was kind of a dipshit then, too. Like,
I asked him about mythology, you know, and is he intending to sort of rewrite these stories for the modern age or whatever? And he said, well, no, it's just, you know, I'm just telling stories, and I borrow from all this stuff. There's no real grander thought process behind it or whatever. But I asked him, and I'm now looking back, I'm kind of surprised I asked that question, because I think I would have already known that what his answer was going to be, but I was curious, I guess.
He's one of those that I don't feel there would be. I mean, I'm not saying, like, somebody says, hey, Neil Gaiman's here. I'm not going to be like, no. I'm just not sure what I would get. I'm not sure what I would want to hear from him, and I'm not sure what I would say to him, and, like, if he and I had dinner, as I'm wont to do with huge celebrities, you know, all the time. I'm not sure we would have much to talk about.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. The man is an amazing storyteller. And that's sort of the one thing I care about. Because there are other issues I have with Neil Gaiman and with some of his stories. His grasp of stories, of what that means, is amazing to me.
Mm.
And I feel like it's very instinctive in him.
Seems to be, yeah.
Which, again, means I'm not sure how much I'd get out of, you know, hanging out with him. Because I don't know how much I could learn based off of that, at least any more than I can just reading his stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of an asshole. I've got a book. Somebody did a book called Hanging with the Dream King, where they interviewed him. And this is this whole, like, book of just hanging out with him and stuff. And I own it. Mm-hmm. It was given to me as a gift at the height of my Sandman craze. I haven't read it. I should maybe read it. You might tell me some shit.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you'll like it.
I might. You never know.
You never know.
And knowing is half the battle. So you're never more than halfway with the battle. Because war never changes. Goddamn Ben. Today, he's saying, like, you heard about Fallout 4, right? And I was like, yes, I did.
I didn't hear about Fallout 4.
They have officially put a thing up. Fallout 4 is happening. I mean, we've known that for years, but now, like, they're really telling us.
But what's it going to be online? Or
I don't think so. I think it's just going to be a game. But they've put a thing on their website announcing it, and they're going to tell us more at E3, which is coming up soon. Sure. In fact, by the time this airs, it may be out there. But, and shit, like, as soon as it happens, Ron Perlman, like, tweeted or something and said that, like, this is the hardest secret he's had to keep and stuff. But, and there's a teaser trailer, I think. I haven't seen it.
There
and
is?
Then at I think so. Oh, and yeah. Then at E3, they'll have a real trailer and stuff like that. And Ben hadn't seen it, but he's chatting with me today, and he's like, I really want to see that, because I want to see how war has changed. And I was like, God damn it. We've been through this before. War never changes. Even, like, when it's got the ratty underwear, there's, like, just a waistband and some threads out, never change. And he's like, no, but, like, it probably looks better now with better technology. I'm like, one thing consistent, all the Fallout games, war never changes. Never
changes.
So, yeah. Because you don't ever know, and that's half the battle. So I might have just given myself an aneurysm with all that metaphor mixing.
Yeah. Are we going to draw one more?
Yeah. Might have to be kind of quick, though, so I hope it's a shitty one. It's from David Vid, so probably not. This one was also abridged, so write with fewer words.
How kind of him to write in.
Which sexually transmitted disease would make an Emmy Award-winning cable show, and on which network? This is why I love our listeners. This is why we'll never run out of questions. I mean, we did run out of questions, but as long as they keep writing, we'll never run out of questions. Because holy shit, what the fuck is this?
Well, HBO.
Yeah, no. Small chance Showtime, but almost certainly HBO.
It's got to be HBO, really.
It's not delivery, it's HBO.
That's although...
Well, AMC could pull something out of their pocket, but
HBO. What I was going to say was that since Netflix originals are really just sort of getting out there, you know, they might want to take a chance on something.
Yeah,
like this.
I still don't feel it though. It's STD, award-winning drama or award-winning show about STD. Sounds like HBO. It really does. So is this like, and the band played on the series? Like, that's a terrible idea.
No.
Oh my God. That sounds like a Saturday Night Live sketch from 1996.
I'm thinking about it.
Come on. What else do we have? The herpes TV show? Nah.
No.
Chlamydia, gonorrhea? No. Those are all the ones that it hurts when I pee. You can't have a TV show about that.
Well, syphilis is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be period.
Well, yeah.
Peace that way, maybe. You know, I noticed...
It's like a period drama, but the main thrust of it is everyone in this show has syphilis.
Well, what you could do is you could, like... You know, the first time people are really dealing with it as an identifiable disease, you know, and they're trying to stop it or cure it or treat it or whatever. Now, you might be surprised how much material you can get out of something like that.
I think I've got this.
I notice we're both avoiding AIDS completely, but that's...
Well, I did end the band played on the series.
Well, okay, not completely avoiding it, but that's just sort of a...
Well, it's been done. I think it was called Angels in America or something. Yeah, we've had that. Yeah, yeah. And I'm pretty sure it won awards. No, I've got it, though.
Okay.
In a world. In the future.
The future.
A future world. That.
Are we going to make up an STD of the future?
No, 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 no. In the future.
Okay.
Syphilis eradicated.
Okay.
It's gone.
Okay.
One man, desperate to learn more about syphilis. Luckily, although syphilis is gone, time travel's a thing. So this one brave doctor goes back in time to use various famous sufferers of syphilis, of which there are a lot historically,
yeah, several.
Mm-hmm. As test subjects. And each episode is like a quantum leap thing where he goes back and runs medical tests on, like, Al Capone.
Why does he do this?
Because he really wants to know about syphilis. I don't know. We'll work that out in this writer's
maybe,
room.
Maybe he could just... Maybe he could just notice that that.
Oh, maybe it comes back in the future, and somebody has to do something.
That could be, or he could just notice that this is like a big time celebrity disease. everybody has it. Is there something about it that I'm going to go back in time and get to know these people and see if there's a connection? Of course, there probably is.
We need to hash something out, but the big thing is, I just want somebody who every week deals with a different. Famous historical figure suffering from syphilis.
Yeah, yeah,
and this seems like the easiest way to do that.
We could do a weird,
specifically shunted afterlife where, like, everybody who dies of syphilis goes into this room and, like, that angel has to process their paperwork. And then most of the episode would just be flashbacks to their life. But that seems far-fetched.
And that's where the mutineers go, and that's where...
Exactly. What'd you die of?
That's where the crooked pontiffs go, and that's the syphilis room over
accident,
there.
Car accident, car accident.
Syphilis, you're over there.
Smoking. Oh. How did one of you guys make it up here?
So wait a minute. Syphilis has its own room. What about all the other STDs? STD other is over there. Syphilis is here.
Yes. And so far, in the history of humanity, we had one dude who died of herpes, and we didn't know where to put him.
And the reason we've divided
the
syphilis people off is because that was their choice. They just felt like they wanted to hang out with a better class of people. So many famous people with syphilis.
It's really kind of a glamorous STD.
I'm just saying.
Turns your brain to mush.
I do have to say, the reason that came to my mind first was because it seems like when you're studying history... And they talk about a person having a disease that they had to cope with their entire lives.
Yeah.
There's a good chance it's syphilis, and you don't really hear much about other...
No. I've always
gonorrhea
assumed,
sometimes you'll hear.
I've always assumed
among STDs.
That it had symptoms such that it just is really easy to diagnose from, like, decades and centuries later. Like, it just had really obvious symptoms. Mm. Because, I mean... People didn't, like, back in the day, you died of shit like brain fever, you know? Nobody knew what the... You died of ennui, you know? Like, nobody had any... They knew, like, four diseases, and three of them included the word humors in it. Like,
melancholia.
You know, exactly. So the fact, like, even before people knew syphilis... Like, we now are like, and this guy, we're pretty sure, died of syphilis. So I feel like syphilis is really easy to spot, even through the lens of history.
Maybe, I don't know.
There could have been people
it just
dying
comes up a lot.
Left and right of gonorrhea, and it's just harder to trace in the written tradition.
Maybe.
So
it's not just me who thinks that syphilis just comes up in history a lot.
Everybody who's anybody gets syphilis.
I'm just saying. It just seems like that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think the answer is syphilis, and the network is HBO, and that was the parameters of the question.
Yeah.
Beyond that,
it's hard to say. We'd have to get the writers in the room all talking it out.
Like somebody
figure out what to pitch. Maybe two or three ideas.
Jim Rash could put up something.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Well, I mean, we'll just throw shit against the wall and see what sticks. I feel like in our writer's room when we're writing our syphilis-based TV show,
yeah.
We need to be careful with our metaphors.
Oh, boy.
I feel like it's going to get awkward.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Even just now, I felt weird. I'm
trying to forget everything you just said.
But I feel like in other contexts, it would be okay. I mean, that's a thing people say. But here, it feels weird.
Well, there are lots of things like that that people say. Like that one, for example, or send it up the flagpole and say salutes.
There we go.
That's a thing.
Not going to be... maybe we just have to speak very literally.
Yeah, probably.
I feel like that could harm the creative process. But
I don't know.
Because otherwise, it's just every day is just going to be constant, A, giggling like little boys, and B, awkward silences. Yeah. Like, it'll just go back and forth between those two all day long.
Yeah.
And we'll get nothing written. So, if you would like to tell us your premise for a syphilis-based TV show, what the fuck is wrong with you? But what the fuck do I care? Go ahead to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us all about it. And if you want to make a pitch for, like, herpes show on UPN instead, go for that.
I do have to say, this is probably the only podcast anywhere ever that would have a conversation like this.
I hope so. For the sake of humanity.
I do too. Because I'm not saying that with pride. I'm just pointing it out.
No. I'm saying there's we didn't hope. Yeah. Never forget.
What? What?
In talking about, maybe, you know, it's not too soon. I'm just saying, I may have made a Holocaust joke just now in relation to our syphilis TV show.
You did?
Never forget.
Oh.
I associate that with...
Oh, I associate that with lots of things, so...
Oh. Yeah, but I associate with them all riffing on the words over the gates at Auschwitz.
Oh. Yeah.
But maybe not.
Okay.
If you think I just made a Holocaust... I feel like sometimes when I tell people to go to the blog, I feel like I'm one of those automated... If you'd like to speak to... Press 1. If you think I made a Holocaust joke, go to themagicaltalkinghat.com and press 1.
It went over my head if you did. But that doesn't mean anything.
No, it really does not.
That doesn't mean a thing.
I'm very tired, people. Give me a break. Episode's called Schrodinger's Carol Channing. You get what you pay for. We'll be back next week, which for us will be 2 weeks, but... We'll catch up.
Yep.
In the meantime, write some STD TV shows. Spec scripts, you know. See what happens. And so will we. Briar Rose is going to get really weird.
No, it won't.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.